You can open up in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. We're looking at discipleship 101 in the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we're studying the disciples' motive from Matthew 6, 1 through 18, where Jesus is talking about our righteousness and our motives. Before I begin the lesson, let me say a couple things that I need to talk about. I'll say before the announcements, I'll say something about the We Are the Sermon this afternoon. We're going to have a few changes with that, but I hope that you'll be involved in that. And I want you to know that we, especially with the storms and things, we should have enough work for everybody that wants to participate. And there's also several things here at the building, so that if you can't get out and work in yard work, there's other things to do here. So please try to be involved in that. That begins at 2 o'clock with our evening worship. Secondly, let me say it's been a difficult week on our family, and you're aware of that, and we had special prayers for that on Wednesday evening with the passing of Amanda and Ashley's aunt, and then the Hayes tragedy this past week and the passing of Wes's grandmother and mother. And on behalf of my family, but also on behalf of Bruce and Wes and them, wanted me to share with you that they appreciate all of the cards, the prayers, and the acts of kindness and concern made on their behalf. And we ask that you continue to pray for all those involved, and especially for Natalie's recovery and for the family's healing in the loss. Third thing, before I begin my sermon, we are a little over a month away from Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School, last year in 2013, I would say, Josh Ketchum's opinion, the best ministry we did locally. It was phenomenal. It was the greatest VBS we've had in my 10 years here. I went to a VBS this week in Missouri, and at a similar size church, it did not touch our VBS we had last year. The amount of kids we had, the amount of enthusiasm, all these things we have. And I know this year it can even be better, and we've made provisions to make it even better, but there's a major problem we have right now. 5 weeks out, we have 10 classes in 6th grade and below. We've only got 5 teachers. Now listen, if we have another 200 kids come like we did last year, and we put them in 10 classes, and we only have 5 teachers for them, we're going to have major, major problems. So here's the deal. We've got to have some teachers, and I didn't even mention the amount of aides. We've got to have an aide in each class. If we're going to have a VBS, we need to have a VBS, because Vacation Bible School went so great. It is so important. And it's now time, it's summer, for us to say, let's do a VBS. And we cannot expect it to be done by other people. Parents, if you want your kids in a VBS, then you've got to be the one to help do the VBS. And so this is the sign-up sheet. We do not have a teacher for the nursery class or aide. We do not have a teacher for the 2-year-old or aide. We do not have an aide for the 4-year-old. We do not have a teacher for the 5-year-old in kindergarten class or aide. We don't have an aide for the first grade. Don't have a teacher or aide for the 3rd grade or 4th grade classes. All you got to do is talk to Ryan, sign this list. I wouldn't take Sunday morning worship preaching time if I didn't think this was crucial. And if I didn't think this ministry was very important to our church, please consider what you can do for VBS. We also need some help with sets and decorations and things. All right, those are my three. Now let's go back to Matthew 6. Let's go back to Matthew 6.
When you think about Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them." Us as humans have a natural desire that we see this in kids. I've got 4 kids, and all of them have experienced and still use the phrase, "Watch me." And when we jump in the pool like this young boy, and they say, "Hey, Mom, Dad, watch me." And when your kids are even 2, 3 years old, they are constantly saying, "Hey, Mom, watch me, Dad, watch me." But even, I think, one of the reasons kids like the youth sports is because they're out there on the field of competition and everybody is watching them. Even as adults, we don't outgrow that, do we? There's a sense where the husband goes out and cleans out the car
and washes the car. And then when his wife comes out, what does he want her to notice? That the car's been done. It's no fun if she never even notices. Or if she fixes supper and does this. She wants to be noticed. Now, that's not all bad, is it? But there's a real sense where we're always wanting to have some personal recognition. And in religion, even, this carries over. Where we want to attain some manner of stature, if you will. Of where we're wanting other people, in some ways, to say, watch me. I'm really a good person. I really love the Lord. I'm a faithful person. Look what I did. And when it comes to righteous deeds, good works, the Sermon on the Mount is going to talk about two different categories. Doing good works, Matthew 5:16, to be seen of men. And then here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus changes gears and Jesus says, do good works, but don't focus on being seen of men. What's the difference? The difference Jesus is going to talk about is our motive. Our motive. And so Jesus begins by saying in this principle, there's a principle in verse 1 that is then going to be applied in verses 2 through 18. And so Jesus says, beware of practicing your righteousness. Now, if you go back, the Sermon on the Mount is talking, Matthew chapter 5, about our righteousness, verse 20, exceeding that of the scribes and Pharisees. So chapter 5, he talks about our righteousness has to be exceeding what the Pharisees and scribes did. He's talking about moral righteousness. He takes it to the heart. The Pharisees and scribes were focused on the outward law. They were focused on how they could really get around that and all the legalism of it. And Jesus says, I'm not so much concerned about whether you murder someone. Yes, that's an issue. But really what I want to focus on is your heart. I'm not so much concerned about the adultery. That's the last thing. What I want to focus on is the lust that's in your heart. Because if I can cut the lust out, if I can cut the anger out, then I will cut out the adultery and the murder. You see, Jesus goes to the heart of our righteousness in Matthew 5. Now in chapter 6, he says, I want to focus on your religious righteousness. No longer focusing on moral righteousness of chapter 5. Chapter 6 is about religious piety or righteousness. So beware, he says. I want to warn you. There is a human temptation to want to practice religion for men. To want to be here today, to want to come to church because we care what someone else thinks more than we care what God thinks. To want to put money and give money to God, not because we love the Lord, but because we care more what men say about us. You see, Jesus says there's a real danger and temptation. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. You see, Jesus is talking about our motive. Now, what's the difference from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Some people have said, well, Jesus is just contradicting himself here. In chapter 5, he says, go out and do good things so other people can see it. Now, chapter 6, he says, don't do good things so other people can see it. What's he saying? He's focused on different sins. Chapter 5 is about the sin of cowardice, being afraid to let your light shine. Chapter 5 is, in this passage, letting your light shine before men, is about when you're doing and living the Christian life, if you're really living it right, other people are going to see your good works. But here's the difference. Chapter 6 is focused upon pride. You see, he says, when you're doing these things, it should be done out of love and out of focus on God, not upon your personal pride. Look at me. You see, now he deals with a motive, and motive is at the heart of the principle. You see, just like he wanted to go to the heart in our moral righteousness, Jesus wants to go to the heart in our religious righteousness as well. Why are we at church? Why do we give money? Why do we pray? Why do we do all the things we do? Why are we baptized? Why do we profess Christ? Is it simply to be seen of men or to attain all the social things? Or is it out of a true devotion and love for God? And so Jesus says some characteristics of acts to be seen of men. These are going to be three. He says, first of all, and he talks about three examples in this passage. In verses 2 through 4, he deals with giving of money. In verses 5 through 14 or 15, he deals with prayer. And then verses 16 through 18, he deals with fasting. Notice that in each of these categories, the three examples he gives, if you do them to be seen of men, they are done in a public setting purposefully. Notice some of the words Jesus uses. In verse number 2, for example, he says, "Thus when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others." This is where you get that phrase, tooting your own horn. They would actually, some of the rich people would have paid people that would go and would create like an attention getter. They would blow trumpets. "Look who is coming. Everybody watch." And watch as he gives all this money. And then the next one, in prayer, in verse number 5, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others." Notice where they choose to pray. It's in the very public places. And they're choosing that spot so that they can be seen by others. And then finally, in verse number 16, dealing with fasting. "When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others." They would do things to accentuate and make it look like they were fasting so very much. Jesus says, these things are done in a setting purposefully, a public setting. And notice that their motive is to be seen of men and have the praise of men. Verse 2, they have the glory from men. Verse 5, that they may be seen by men. And verse 16, that they may appear to men. And then notice a third final characteristic of this is the characteristic of this is that they have their praise from men. If you look at this passage, Jesus says in verse 2, verse 5, and verse 16, each passage he says, "Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward." What's he saying? He's saying that if they're doing it to receive the praise of men, then that's all the reward they're going to get, because God in heaven is not going to reward them. In John chapter 12, Jesus is talking about men, and he says, "Nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Characteristics of acts to be seen of men are when you focus on doing it where other people can see you. Your motive is so that other people can see you. And ultimately, your only reward is other people seeing you. Notice righteous acts to be seen of God. The difference, Jesus says here, is that it is focused upon the audience of one. Look at verse 3. "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Notice that in verse 3 and 4, Jesus says it's a personal issue. In fact, with all three of these, we're dealing with things that involve a personal relationship with God, our fasting, our giving, and our prayer. Things that are intimate, that are personal. Things that should be about the audience of one. Things that is easily tempted to make them about being viewed by others as being exceptionally pious and religious and a very devoted Christian. And you see, when we get into those things, what Jesus is saying is you're forgetting the real audience. You need to focus on the audience of one. Look at verse number 6 when he talks about prayer. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. And finally, in verses 17 and 18, but when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, but that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. In other words, don't do things to accentuate it, to make it look like you're fasting so much, but do things to hide it. Because it's a personal thing between you and God. Jesus talks about something we don't often talk about. He uses the term secret in all three examples. The discipline of secrecy. And I'm not talking about secrecy in a negative way. Jesus isn't either. He's talking about this personal devotion unto God. Now, we need to understand that Jesus is not forbidding public prayers, and he's certainly not forbidding public offerings like we just took up. What's he doing? What's he forbidding? He's forbidding prayers focused on being seen of men. He's forbidding giving to God, but your real motive is to be seen of men. And so the way we counteract this is through determining to be secret about it. In other words, we have to face the challenge that I'm not going to tell. Because if I choose to tell, and most of the time when I want to tell, it's really because of pride. I want to give you two quick illustrations. One is from Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon and his wife kept chickens. Kind of a lot of people going back to that. And they kept chickens, and they always determined to sell the eggs from the chicken. From the chickens. And even with family. And some of their family got a little upset with them. And they took criticism over this. That they were so stingy, it appeared, with having to have money from the sale of the chicken eggs. And they had, he preached at a large church there in London. And they had money. You know, they weren't depending upon the sale of the chicken eggs. And they took a lot of criticism. The reason they never told, came out years later, was that they were using that money and had determined to use that money to support a local widow lady that they were supporting. Now, they took a lot of criticism. And they were even accused of some things because people didn't understand. But they modeled the discipline of secrecy. Second illustration. Today, I thought it was ironic that we're going out to work and serve and doing things in a public way to try to get attention for the church, to show the community and show one another we love them in the name of the Lord, to do good works, Matthew 5:16. Yet I'm also talking about do your good works in secret so that you don't boast. So here's what we need to do today. Here's what we need to do this week. When we go out and serve, or in the next few weeks when you go to El Salvador, if you're going to El Salvador, or whatever you're doing, the challenge is to not put the focus on yourself and what you did. But put the focus upon what the church or the group did. You follow me? So it's not about you going out and cleaning up 5 yards this afternoon or whatever outstanding thing you may do or whatever you maybe you're going to help with the hospital gifts and what you do. It's fine for other people to appreciate and brag on you for your devotion. But here's the challenge I want to put for myself and for you. Is that when any people talk to us about that or we talk about it to others, here's what we're going to say. The church, a group of Christians, we did this. You see the difference? It's nothing wrong with telling what you did too, but the emphasis needs to be upon it's what the Lord did. It's what the church did. And that's what Jesus is talking about here, is we always have to try to combat this prideful instinct that's deep inside of all of us to say, look what I did. And here's the thing. This goes with all kinds of other church ministries or whatever. We always have to fight the pride of wanting people to say, look, my ministry is the most important. Look what I did. Look at my role. And here's what happens. If nobody looks, what do? We get upset. Well, I did more than someone else. And you know what? They got up and made an announcement. It was even in the bulletin about what they did. And look what I did, and nobody noticed me. I had one person come to me. One person came to me. That was it. And we're upset. We have to be careful with that. We have to always come back to doing our good works out of a motive that focuses, here's the reason, on an audience of one. Because listen, the elders, the preacher, we're going to miss most of the good works that get done. But the Lord doesn't miss any of them. And so notice, Jesus says, the Father will reward you openly. The Father's got a reward for you that the people at school, the people in town, your family can never give you. The church bulletin can never appreciate you enough. The elders couldn't give you this reward. You see, the praise of men will never be as great as the praise of the Father. And so we do our good works not to be seen of men, but we do our good works so that one day, within this world and certainly in the next world, our deeds will be rewarded. In Revelation chapter 14, the Bible talks about, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest from their works. And then it says this, and their deeds follow them. Their deeds follow them. I think that's a part of what Jesus is saying here. You're going to be rewarded openly and publicly, but you do your deeds, your prayer, your fasting, your giving, your mowing yards, your Bible studies, whatever it is, you do them with a motive of the audience of one. And so as we think about this lesson, what is your motive? Why are you here this morning? Are you here just for a family reason? Are you here out of a social reason? Why are you here? Are you here because of God? You see, ultimately what Jesus is saying is, it hurts God's heart when we do things for Him, for God, and it's for other people. Because God has loved us so much that our deeds for Him should be done out of a reciprocated love for Him. Not to gain some notoriety in our human relationships. If you want to put Christ on in baptism, if you want to choose this morning to give your life to Him, we stand ready to help you do that. Don't let men keep you from doing it, and don't do it for men. Do it because Jesus gave His life for you. If you need to be restored and rededicate your life, don't let men keep you from doing it. And don't do it just because of men. Do it because of Jesus. If you need to come, come as together we stand and sing.